You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur Podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and want more people on your email list. Or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. We are here for you to give you the tools, tips, and strategies to do it and to do it so you can have the freedom of time and money. If you want help immediately in converting your website visits to email subscribers, I have a free guide for you. It's filled with actionable tips that you can use today. This guide will help you if you have a product-based business or an online business. So don't hold back. Go get it. And when it works, let me know. Email me at smita@womenpreneursuccess.com or go to the website womenpreneursuccess.com and sign up, and I will send it to you personally. Today, we are talking to Susan Burns. Susan is an attorney, a professional speaker, and a champion of big ideas. She believes that a business worth building is a business worth protecting. Her focus is on providing practical, sound legal advice to entrepreneurs and small businesses. She is continuously moving the needle of the legal field in helping entrepreneurs protect what matters most, their business. She has been in the legal field for almost 30 years, and so she definitely knows her stuff. And when she says that we as small and online business owners don't take legal advice in the infancy stage of our business seriously, I totally listen to her. Susan founded Small Business Legal School to help entrepreneurs understand the different aspects, be it contracts or trademarks, copyrights, and other important things. She educates us of the intricacies of contracts and what we should be looking at. We do so many things like telesummits and joint ventures and webinars, and we don't even think about the terms of use and other things. Instead, we should definitely be getting all of our ducks in a row beforehand, and Small Business Legal School can help. Think about it. When you do a joint venture, do you have all your contracts ready? Do you change your contracts pertaining to that particular brand or that person so that you are making sure that all of your ducks are in a row? So definitely look out for Small Business Legal School. I think it can totally help you. Now, complete disclosure, I am an affiliate for Small Business Legal School, and today we are doing something special. I have never done this ever in my podcast, and I'm giving away 2 scholarships for the program. So sign up for a mini course. It's completely free, and you will be entered to win the scholarship for the legal school that starts July 10th. So again, sign up for the free mini course and you will be entered to win a scholarship for the Small Business Legal School. Now, this is valid only until June 29th at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you sign up before June 29th at 4 p.m., you will be eligible to be entered in the draw for the scholarship. If you're hearing this episode in the future, so after June 29th, the signups will be closed. But you definitely learn a lot from Susan in this episode, so make sure you hear it in its entirety. So, are you guys ready for the link? I made it super easy for you. So go to bit.ly, so that's the short link. So go to bit.ly/legalwomenpreneur. I'm going to sound it out for you. Or I have kids, so I keep saying sound it out. I'm going to spell it out for you now. It's bit.ly/legal womenpreneur, womenpreneur. preneur, bit.ly/legalwomanpreneur. Go to the link and you can enter for the free mini course. So let's get started and let's learn from Susan Burns today.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Smita, hello. I'm doing just great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming back. I don't know what it was, but last time when I recorded with Susan, this is for all our audience, I went back to edit the episode and I was like, hey, this is going to be great. And I don't know what happened. I record in two recorders and it just, on one, it recorded like 14 seconds and then it went blank. I'm like, okay, I have the other one. And I went into it and it was blank. I was like, oh my gosh, there has to be a reason for this. And I love how Susan put it just now. So Susan, thank you so much for coming back. And like you said, I think there is a reason why we're coming back today, because there's somebody out there who wants to really hear this today.
Yeah, that's the only reason I can think of. We'll make better best.
Exactly. Sounds good. I'm excited. Great. So welcome to our podcast. We are excited to have you and I'm ready to learn. Susan, you have been a practicing attorney, right?
Yes.
For how long?
30 plus years.
Wow. And what was your first ever job?
My first ever job was actually practicing general practice with my father in a small town in central Minnesota.
Oh, wow. So basically it's all in your genes then.
It's genetic. It's a genetic illness, I say.
Awesome.
My grandfather, my father, and two uncles were lawyers. And in this generation, it's me, my brother, and a cousin. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. So was that something that you always knew you wanted to do, or you wanted to become a lawyer?
Well, you know, thanks for asking that. When I was in high school, I told my dad that I wanted to be a lawyer, and he told me, this was in 1978, mind you. No, 1970. He told me, honey, girls don't go to law school.
Oh, wow.
And he said, right. When I was in law school, there was one woman in our whole class, and he said, it wasn't me, but some of the guys were really mean to her, and I don't want that for you. So I was discouraged from going to law school because my chosen paths that were really open at the time were being a nurse or a school teacher. That's what women did, and you really went to college to have a degree and maybe work for a year or two until you got married and had babies, and then you would stay home, of course. So that was the expectation at the time. What happened for me was I finished college and I worked as an administrative assistant for a year, and when I was working, I thought I saw clearly that in order to get ahead at that point as a woman that I would have to have an advanced degree. So I just decided I was going to law school.
Wow. Wow. That's a great story. So it's amazing. How was it difficult for you to change that mindset in the family to tell them, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this? And how was it in law school?
So my family just thought it was one more of my harebrained ideas. Growing up, my dad used to say to me, oh, you and your big ideas, because I always have this mindset of, if something was good, my brain always went to how could you make it even better? So how could you make a peak experience even more peak? Like what would enhance what's so great already? So he always would say, oh, you and your big ideas. And frankly, they thought this was one of my big ideas, and I'm sure they expected me to flunk out. And I was afraid that I would flunk out, so I studied like the Dickens. And actually, I ended up near the top of the class. But
neat.
And everybody thought I was – everybody in my class thought that I was a gunner. And I wasn't. I was just hanging on by my fingernails, or so I thought. So there wasn't really any encouragement for me. But by the time I graduated, you could not find anybody more proud than my father. And he thought it was his idea that I went to law school.
Aw. That's an amazing story. I think that's so inspirational to a lot of women out there. It's amazing. I think where there's a will, there's a way, right? I mean, if you really feel that this is what I want to do, then just don't worry about anything else. Just go and do it. I think I love that. And I call all of my entrepreneurs, I call them bold and fearless. And you were exactly that. So I love that.
Bold and fearless. That's what you have to be a successful entrepreneur, for sure.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And, you know, a lot of times I think we tend to get a little the imposter syndrome, you know, like, am I good enough to help these people? Or do I have enough insights to be able to give to all these people? So I think it's so important, like you said, as an entrepreneur, to be that bold and fearless, because if you're not, you're going to be one of them, you know, and it's important to stand out.
I totally agree with you, Smita. And I think one aspect of being bold and fearless, and of course, I'm a small business owner and an entrepreneur myself, so I experience the exact same thing that you just described, where I have days where I'm like, whoa, nobody wants what I have to offer. You know what? Are you crazy thinking you can do this? The point is, the comparison to others is what's really damaging. And for me, the rescue point always is remembering that I am uniquely me, and mm-hmm. what I have to offer on this planet is, that's my gift. And pursuing, nobody else can touch that space because nobody else is me.
That's
and
right.
That's the focal point, that each of us brings our own gifts, and that's our job, is to really make sure that they get out into the world, which is why I am so strongly in favor of women having proper legal protection in operating their businesses, because I want them to shine that light.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about that a little bit more. So, you know, you're helping small businesses with their legal matters and stuff. Can you give us some examples that maybe some of us have, you know, we didn't have the forethought to think about, and we went ahead and did something, and you were like, oh my gosh, why didn't you all think about this before?
Well, actually, I can give you a lot of examples, and that is precisely why I started Small Business Legal School, is because I became tired of having women business owners come in my office after the fact to fix a problem, when at the point they'd come to see me is at an expensive point. We could have taken mm-hmm. care of things ahead of time much more easily, and for less expensive or at a lower cost. As right. one, I have a new client that came in on Friday, and she said, well, Susan, we don't think about legal until we're in trouble.
And exactly.
That's the point. And she's now signing up for Small Business Legal School, and I'm representing
right.
her. But in her case, she signed a sublease, and she was subleasing from a friend, and didn't, you know, some of the things weren't really clear, and they didn't talk everything through, but she thought they'd work it out. Guess what? Not so. 2 months mm-hmm. later, relationship goes sour, and they don't have everything in the lease, and now the other person is digging her heels in and saying, I didn't say that. And so there you have a problem, and now we're, you know, in the several thousands of dollars probably to resolve it,
mm-hmm.
whereas, you know, just to review a lease and advise on it and make some revisions would have been probably $1,000 or less. So a little investment. And I think one of the things is people run away from legal because they think it's just it's so costly. It actually is an investment in your business, and it can save you money, and I think make you more profitable.
I agree. So. And, you know, I think, Susan, I have several thoughts running through my mind right now, so I'm going to take it one by one. But I think the first thing is definitely legal counsel. I think a lot of us, and I'm definitely speaking from experience because I have run physical stores, you know, I am doing an online business, but I think a lot of us don't think about the legalities. Always an afterthought. It's always after the incident happens or after something happens, either if it has to do with a lease or a contract or something, that we end up thinking about it. And I think that's the biggest point that I definitely want to point out, because if we had spent, you know, an extra couple of hours before when we're setting up our business or a line item in our balance sheet for legal beforehand and we're ready for it, I think that it can really save us from a lot of grief later on. So I think you're actually have two things that you have to really help us out with. One is explain to people why legal help and legal counsel, legal education for a small business is important, because I think that's the first is educating ourselves to understand that that's one thing that's important. And the other is actually learning the legalities of it. So I think, yes, I think it's wonderful you're doing the Small Business Legal School, because it's, a lot of us don't realize it, and it's important to do that. I have an example to share, actually, and mine, thankfully, was a positive one, but I did learn from it, and I ended up changing my whole mindset. So the first business that I owned, when I was getting ready to sell it, I was looking for buyers. Buyers would come and, you know, all of that stuff. I didn't have the forethought when I signed my lease to think about, oh, I'm going to sell my business. That was my first ever physical business. And there was no provision in the lease. There was nothing for selling the business before the lease gets over, right? And I kind of lucked out because, you know, the lease, I knew the landlord, I knew the people that were buying the business from me. So they were all nice. And it's very hard to come by in the business field, definitely. But at least it worked out well. But that gave me that education, that gave me that thing to say, you know what? What was I thinking? What if I hadn't come across these people? What if it was a regular transaction and it just didn't go through? I would be in deep trouble. And then obviously the next time around, I was more cautious and I had all my ducks in a row. But I think that is so important what you're doing. And tell us a little bit more about why and how.
First of all, in the example that you just talked about, your own personal example, that, as you said, was a happy ending. What can happen in stories like that is people think that contracts, including leases, are about trust, and they're not. It's nothing could be further from the truth. I really hope that you have some level of trust with the people that you're doing business with. In your case, let's say the landlord that you're dealing with is probably a business and it's owned by one person that you deal with quite a bit, or there's a manager that you're dealing with. Well, let's say that manager gets replaced by somebody else, or that person sells the building and you're now dealing with somebody new. Mm-hmm. If you don't have everything in writing in your lease, it's not enforceable. So even though you and the landlord might have agreed to something outside of the lease, the new person coming in doesn't have to agree to that. And that's when things can get really sticky. Or, you know, things happen. People change. They're less agreeable sometimes when it comes to money matters. So that's when it gets important. And so that's why in the beginning of the relationship, you want to make sure that you have things thought through carefully from your own perspective, and to deal with future possibilities as much as you can think of. Obviously, things change, and you can't ever think of every possibility that could happen or could go wrong, even though that's what we lawyers get paid to do, is think of everything that could go wrong. But so the purpose of Small Business Legal School is really to educate business owners about the legal basics in running their business. And that would be one thing. Make sure you get your contracts in writing. And we talk about what the important elements of contracts are. I also have had a number of clients in my office after the fact, again, who signed a contract without understanding all the elements of the contract, even downloading templates from the internet and filling in the blanks. So it's their own contract. They run into a problem and come into me, you know, here's the problem. How can we resolve this? And I'll ask about certain provisions in the contract. What does this mean, or what did you intend by that? Well, I don't know, is typically.
Mm-hmm.
understand what was in it. You signed it and had somebody else sign it. You know, right. That is like, that makes no business sense whatsoever. And the point of being able to be more successful and more lucrative with legal is when you have all those things in place, first of all, it sets you apart because you look more professional. And secondly, you don't have to, so that's a draw. People like doing business with professionals. And that's not to say you have to wear a suit and be in a downtown office, but that you present yourself as a professional person who can be completely lovely and lovable at the same time you're serious about your business. So that is one aspect. And the other is when you don't take care of it and you get into trouble, how much time and energy does that take away from your business operation? So now, I mean, if you're afraid of dealing with legal in the beginning, think of now you have your business operating full force and you have to take time away. And time is money. You have to take time and energy away, or maybe it's time you would have rather spent with your family, but no, you're having to deal with legal issues and you're spending more on lawyers. So what Small Business Legal School does is educate on the basic legal elements, contracts, negotiations, non-disclosure agreements, trademarks, copyrights. We go through naming your business, should you be an LLC or an S-Corp, how to work with lawyers, how to make the most effective use of your lawyer. And I provide and what to put on your website. And I provide checklists so that you can be organized when you go in to talk with your lawyer. And that also it hits the bottom line and helps, because with lawyers, we bill by the hour usually, or we bill by the project. But if you're more organized, you can, the lower fee. So the less time I have to spend with a client digging out the details, the lower their fee is. So if you walk into a lawyer's office prepared and have some idea of where you're going and what you're up to, that makes it much easier for the lawyer to guide you in the right direction. So
absolutely. I love that. Now, let's talk a little bit about, I know you touched on it just now, online legal advice. So there are so many online businesses right now. In how can you, or how can Business Legal School help the online marketer or online business owners?
Well, there are a number of aspects, Smita, that really help an online business owner. And one of the mistakes that online business owners make is to think just because it's so easy to slap up a business on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're under the radar, that the law doesn't apply because here I'm just putting it up. But if you think of it like when you have brick and mortar, when you have a retail space, you have a lease. With an online business, you have other aspects that aren't present with a physical space, such as people make is they don't identify themselves as an LLC or a corporation when at the bottom of their website, or they don't copyright properly, or they, your website, your contract, your website is a contract with your user, basically that interaction there. So you want to have terms of use. You want to have a privacy policy. You want to have a disclaimer, privacy policy depending. But for sure, you want to have some type of disclaimer in most businesses and terms of use. And, for example, in mine with Small Business Legal School, it's all webinar-based, and the interaction, I have a disclaimer right on my website, and the terms of use, when you opt in, when you sign up for the course, you sign the terms of use. Otherwise, there isn't much else to it. But so it depends a little bit, but there's an educational process there about, you have to start thinking of it like that's your replacement for a lease and a retail space, is you have to think about what your interaction is with the customer and how does that work. Another thing that people do is they use testimonials, and in some instances you need to make sure that you check the Federal Trade Commission regulations and make sure you're in compliance with those regulations with your testimonials. And that varies from business to business. But there are a number of things to consider in an online business that you wouldn't necessarily use in a brick and mortar store.
Right, right. And definitely, I think copywriting is a big thing, right? You know, there's so many people that just end up taking what you have, which is your own private intellectual property, and they're just copying it, putting it on their own site. And I've seen it and heard it on so many forums that it just pains me. So I think that's one of the ways to, I think, like you say, the legal, cross your legal I's and wait, cross your legal T's and dot your legal I's.
Crossing legal I's is what I do when clients come into my office after
right.
the fact.
Right.
Oh, here so we go again.
I know. Exactly.
That was a great slip. I love that.
So definitely to be, I think, to have that edge and to be able to understand and know that it's important. And like you say, save yourself so many dollars, guys. So get yourself situated, get yourself into Small Business Legal School, and you will have all your bases covered.
You know, another, yeah, I agree with that 100%. But another area, too, is trademarks. So, and you mentioned you called it intellectual property, and trademarks, trade secrets can also be an intellectual property, copyrights, patents, those kinds of things. But most business owners, especially with online presence, are dealing with copyright and trademark. Sometimes intellectual property is one of the most valuable assets of a business. So it makes business sense, it makes financial sense to make sure that you're properly protected.
Right. Susan, tell me, for the all these courses that, you know, a lot of them are creating, which are amazing, are they able to trademark those?
It depends, and it it varies with situation to situation. And there are, I'll just give you a real quick and dirty. There are two aspects that you want to look at. Is it a name only trademark, or is it a branding trademark? Are you, like, Coca-Cola is a name, but it's also a, what they call a stylized logo. So there are a couple of different things to look at, and whether or not somebody can trademark a name is dependent on how they use it and if somebody else is using it for something that is could be conceivably confusingly similar, if you're using it in a manner that's confusingly similar. So there are a lot of aspects to it. If you are branding your business, branding a course, and you intend to grow it, I definitely recommend trademark. And especially if you don't check into that and you grow your business, here's another time and money suck for small businesses, especially you grow your brand and then you find out somebody else has that name trademarked and then you have to stop using it.
That's the worst nightmare, isn't it, for any online business owner, is like, oh my gosh, is there, you know, somebody with the same name now, almost similar. And yeah, it's I think, the worst nightmare.
Yeah, can be terrible. And then, I mean, then that's expensive.
Right.
People say lawyers are so expensive, really? Well, no, let me tell you what's expensive. Having to rebrand, losing customers, that's expensive.
Right, right, absolutely. And all the time that you put in, time and hard work, I think. The sweat, blood, and tears that you put in. I think that's definitely more valuable. But yeah, you know, I do want to ask you, have you ever made any legal mistakes?
I was hoping you would ask that. Yes, I have. I'm a small business owner myself, and I very much understand competing demands on your time. You know, for me, that the more difficult aspect is learning about technical things, because I've been a lawyer most of my life. So, you know, running an online business is all, that part is all new. But so there are a lot of, as you know, as we all know, a lot of irons in the fire when you're running a small business. I actually met a woman at a networking event, and she offered a service that I needed, and she needed a lawyer, so we decided to do a trade. And in that situation, we got together and we met and we talked about how we were each going to work and what we were comfortable with in the trade. And so then we went along our merry ways, and I thought, oh, should I put it in writing? Nah, I don't have time. And she's a respected business owner in the community, as am I hope. And, you know, nice people, smart business women. I'm sure we can work it through. Well, heck, a couple months down the line, I wasn't really getting what I thought I was supposed to get. And I sent some legal documents to her, and she said, no, this isn't, I didn't want you to do all this. Anyway, so there was this big confusion, big upset, big mistake. We didn't have a meeting of the minds. We did not clearly understand what each other was thinking, even though we sat down and spent an hour and talked about it. We talked it through pretty thoroughly, I thought. So it's a great lesson that I've preached about that for years, because I see clients in my office all the time because they didn't write things down. And I'm like, get it in writing, get it in writing. But I did not follow my own rule. That won't happen again, because I really think, so again, it's not about trust. It's about having a contract in writing, is about, you know, just going through the process and making sure each person is clear about what it is they're providing and what the payment terms are and what, you know, so that you really understand the terms. I think in that situation, if we had taken the time to write it down, we wouldn't have ended up doing business together. But that's okay, because we would have probably still be talking. And I ended up not receiving what I wanted anyway. I didn't get paid for the service I provided. And so it was a colossal waste of time and money. So, yeah, I'm sorry to tell the story on myself, but no, I've done it. I've done it myself. So I understand. And, well, the benefit of that is it made me really much more compassionate when clients come into my office with the contract mess, because I'm like, yeah, I get it. But I'm still going to slap you on the hands, but you understand.
Absolutely. No, thank you for sharing that with us, because I think that really kind of puts everything in perspective, right? Because there are things that we think are okay, or they're going to turn out fine. I think it's important to be aware that there are things that, no matter how great and how good your intention might be, it might not turn out that well. But and definitely to, you know, be ready for it. Awesome. And before I do go into our lightning round, I do want to tell our audience that, you know, in all transparency, I am an affiliate for the Small Business Legal School. And Susan, we're giving away 2 scholarships, right?
We are.
Awesome.
Pretty excited about that.
I know. I'm excited, too. So Small Business Legal School starts July 10th. It's a 10-week course. And whenever this podcast comes out, you'll have about 72 hours to sign up on the link that I mentioned in the beginning, and go ahead and sign up, and we will pick 2 scholarship winners, and you can go to Small Business Legal School all for free.
Yeah, and I'll be awesome. Happy to have you. It'll be great.
Yes, absolutely, and you'll get to learn, and then we would love to, you know how you liked it, so that'll be great. Awesome. So are you ready, Susan, for our lightning round?
I think I am.
Great. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
The trophy I want on my mantle is Champion of Successful Women Business Owners.
Nice. I like that. And what is your guilty pleasure?
You know, I that changes from time to time. Chocolate, it was chocolate last week. This week it's naps.
Oh, nice.
I love a nap.
Nice. Do you take like a quick, like a half an hour nap?
Yeah,
20 minutes. That's awesome.
To fight it, but just to give yourself permission to just dig in and relax and take a nap.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Power nap, totally.
Or, you know, another thing, yoga nidra, if you can find a 20-minute, that's a you know, waking sleep. That's a great little, yeah.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And what are you currently reading?
I am reading a book called Feel More Joy, and it's a compilation by Tiffany Josephs, and it's about, I'm actually a contributing author. It's different ways that people experience joy in their life, and it has different meditations in it. It's very cool.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What is your one productivity hack?
My one productivity hack is Asana for project management. Oh, love that one.
Yes, I would agree completely. And what is your personal motto?
Get it done.
Get it done. Yes, totally. What would you do different if you were given another chance?
What would I do differently if given another chance? I would have started small business legal school 10 years ago.
Neat. Yes. And I'm sure there are like a ton of people who would have said, thank you.
I think so.
Awesome, Susan. And what is the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is by email at smallbizlegalschool@gmail.com. smallbizlegalschool@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Susan, for coming on our show twice this time.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, I think the other reason is because then I get to connect with you again, and I love talking to you, Smita. I think you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it so much. But thank you so much, and we will have all the links for our amazing audience. So, guys, go get to Small Business Legal School. You guys need it. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
So that was Susan Burns, the founder of Small Business Legal School. Don't forget to sign up before June 29th at 4 p.m. to be eligible to win a scholarship. And the link is bit.ly/legalwomanpreneur. So bit.ly/legalwomanpreneur. LEGALWOMENPRENEUR. Don't miss it. So, also, please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review. If you know someone who will make a great fit on the show, email me at smita@womanpreneursuccess.com. And if you love our show, please share it with your friends. Don't forget to link up with me on Twitter. I'm on @thesmitasingh. And on Instagram, I am on Womanpreneur Success. I'm having a ton of fun on Instagram, so find me on Instagram. Bye for now.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.